back to the Eric Stewart Show on WMAL.
I remember back in the late 1980s when I first got into real estate, the conversation came up, should you buy a condominium or stick with a single-family house or a townhouse? And there, I remember the groundwork of fear was laid for me about getting into a communal relationship that oftentimes is a part of being in a condominium. So we're clear, condominiums, you own the real estate, that is that rectangular box that is your condominium. You own that space. You share the amenities of the building, and you share common expenses, oftentimes water, sewer, sometimes electric, sometimes gas, but certainly the responsibility for maintaining the roof of the building, maintaining the physical plant, maintaining the exterior grounds or pool or whatnot. So I want to share, this is now 29 years in real estate, and there are condominiums that are in crisis right now. The financial troubles put many communities at risk, and you as a seller of a condominium need to be aware that you have somebody who understands how to read the tea leaves of your community, meaning look at the financials and understand the solvency, understand how strong it is, and be able to convey that with more than adequate confidence to prospective purchasers. At the same sense, if you're a buyer, if you are thinking about buying a condominium, and really anything that's got a condominium-like style to it, including cooperatives, which is a slightly different kind of ownership, you need to know how much has been saved and if there are adequate reserves in place to cover major expenses in the future. See, for five summers, there's been a tarp covering a swimming pool at Grand Bell 2, which is a condominium community in Silver Spring, Maryland, that's got no money for lifeguards, no chemicals or insurance for the pool. The Vistas at Washingtonian Woods in Gaithersburg faces $600,000 in repairs, but only has $400,000 in cash reserves. And the detail of what I'm sharing is coming out of a Post article by Bill Turk back September 18th. In Alexandria, there's a place called Saxony Square. There's an unemployed man 9 months behind on his mortgage, negotiating currently with his lenders to keep his two-bedroom condo. His neighbors are struggling to pay their monthly fees. Since 2010, Saxony's board of directors has filed more than 80 court actions to try to collect such assessments. Even as posh condos rise in trendy neighborhoods around the nation's capital, many older complexes are mired in a recession that really has never ended. There's a cycle of aging infrastructure, limited resources, foreclosure, putting these communities in a deep financial hole, threatening really what traditionally has been an affordable path to home ownership for the working class. So, wow, you think about that. Move into a community and then you are married to the community. You know, when you marry, you not only marry the one you're marrying, you marry their family, right? So you better know who the family is in your, what is the family of this condominium complex that I'm moving into? Monthly fees, the financial lifeblood of condo developments. Everybody pays a certain amount every month. It all goes into paying for the cost of goods and services to maintain the condo in the current time frame, but also a portion of it gets saved for long-term problems. So these have risen sharply. Okay, as boards are trying to generate cash for the long term. Think about it. People are getting almost nothing, no return on their investment. You put $100 away, and 10 years from now, you have $103, $104, maybe $110. You don't have a lot to show for having saved it. And yet the cost of doing the work that's necessary, the cost of the supplies necessary, is going up faster. So you actually have to increase the cost of what you put away in order to provide for the future need for maintenance for that building. So as a result, more homeowners can't make their payments and fewer prospective owners can afford to buy into that area. And at the same time, tightened lending rules and a reluctance among banks to foreclose on units that'll be harder to resell. Think about it. If a bank's got a unit and they can't sell it, they won't go through the process of foreclosing it. They'll just hold it. And that does not bode well for the neighborhood either. These have boosted the number of long vacant condos in many complexes. It further depletes the flow of fees that they pay for utilities, trash collection, upkeep, and repairs. If the condominium, if the bank is in a primary relationship with the homeowner for the condominium and they don't go to foreclosure, it sits there And that the only resolution is actually for the condominium association is to take the homeowner to foreclosure, which the condominium association could do to get paid on what they're owed, but depends on whether the condominium is first or behind the bank in the priority of indebtedness on that property. It's crazy, right? Look, these communities are suffering, and they're desperate. Really, this is a potentially a great type of housing that is affordable, but public policy has not really seen what the issues would be that that have been created here. And we need to look at this in a public policy standpoint and handle and grapple with it and resolve it. Frankly, there's Glenway Gardens in Silver Spring, Vicky Fergani. She was just expressing how she feels this desperation among the people that are in a community. Grand Belle 2, I mentioned at the beginning, it's a 1960s-era complex, which is off Georgia Avenue and Belpre Road. It's in the northern part of Silver Spring. It's not the Ritz, says the former property manager, but it's been really a sturdy launch pad for really for generations of immigrants and young families coming in to start. There's a Bulgarian guy. His name is, or her name is, Anita Lefterov. She purchased a two-bedroom condo in 2010. For just $106,000, which was a bargain price because they were selling in the upper 160s just like 4 years before that. It was flattened by the housing bust. She took advantage of a Federal Housing Administration insured loan, which allowed her to make a low down payment and was able to stretch her salary as a workforce consultant for the state of Maryland to cover her mortgage payment and the $490 monthly fee. So Anita, she liked her condominium, but there was a problem. The condominium economic model, in which your neighbors are also your business partners, they really obligated her to pay a share of the common expenses. And if the other people aren't paying, then everybody's not holding up their end of the bargain, so to speak. So even before she moved in, there were signs of distress. You know, as the economy deteriorated, more of the homeowners had trouble paying their bills, just their mortgages and their condo fees. And to forestall their mortgage defaults, many opted to stop paying the monthly assessments. Well, the board of this community had to take out $1 million bank loan to address a sewage drainage problem, and therefore had to increase the fees, which you know she bought in 2010. It was $490. It's now $655. Plus, there was a one-time special assessment, which your condominium association can put on you, which was, I think, somewhere between $800 and $1,200 for each unit. So that's really where it becomes painful. And the report, this article goes on and talks about the challenges of lending problems, how difficult it is, especially if there are a lot of vacant properties, if there are a lot of tenancy-occupied properties. Banks will not lend money under FHA guidelines if there are more than a certain number of the condos in a condominium building which are rentals, which makes it difficult to sell. And the only way to sell those is to sell them cash or have some kind of portfolio lender step in. Anyway, to find solutions, well, clearly I'm sharing this story because we need to be careful. If you're a condominium owner, you need to be aware of where you're at and what the status is of your development and how your reserves are. Because in many respects, like Anita's case, she bought, if she had read the disclosures about where the community was, even in 2010, she could have seen the direction at that time, in my opinion, of where that community was going. And but it's, you know, if you don't understand the documentation, it's just gobbledygook and numbers to you, then spend $50 to $100 and have an attorney read it over with you. Ask your real estate agent that's representing you to tell you, what does this mean? Is this enough for the future? And if they don't know how to read it, then find somebody who can and it can help you and guide you. We need to find solutions. There need to be ways to resolve this issue, right? Okay. Well, so much for condominiums. This isn't to say that condominiums are a bad kind of ownership. For all my listeners, I like condominiums. I think they're great. You just want to make sure that you're moving into a place that's solvent and that has saved for the long term adequately and that you're not behind the curve now, right? Because then you can use that to negotiate with the condo owner. if you think there isn't enough, you can negotiate on price and say, look, I'm seeing a future deficit. I want another $5K off because I believe I'm going to have to put that in as a special assessment based on the numbers. Hey, seminar coming up on the 13th of October and 25th in Tysons and North Bethesda. Go to ericstewartgroup.com/seminar to register. This is the Eric Stewart Show. More to come. Stay with me.